As Act 3 begins, Mary is weak and ill after the birth of her son, and her determination to stand alone has dissolved. James has raised an army against her and has rallied the people to his side. She must now take refuge in the castle of Stirling. Whatever happens to her, it is vital that her son, the future James VI of Scotland and James I of England, shall be preserved. She refuses. She has already sent for Bothwell, who will protect her and her son. Gordon, her trustworthy old friend, is appalled. On no account must she trust Bothwell. His fears are justified when Bothwell later returns and seduces her as the price for his protection. They are discovered by James, who has by now infiltrated his men into the palace. When Gordon returns to announce Darnley's murder, he sees that Mary is irrevocably compromised. James and Bothwell confront each other. Bothwell is outnumbered and subsequently wounded and defeated. Incited by James, the people demand Mary's abdication in favor of her infant son. She obstinately refuses to leave while there is still time to save herself and turns once more to the people for their support. She is overwhelmed by the ferocity of their accusations that she is her husband's murderer. Gordon has already sent her son into safety, and she is tricked into fleeing alone. As she crosses her Rubicon into England, where she faces imprisonment for the rest of her life, Gordon murders James, Earl of Moray, and her son is proclaimed King of Scotland. And so the opera ends. By the way, in real history, Bothwell died insane in a Danish prison, and Mary was executed by Queen Elizabeth in 1587. When Queen Elizabeth died, Mary's son, James VI of Scotland, succeeded as James I of England, thus uniting the thrones under one crown. But back to the opera. We'll listen in as Mary sings a lullaby to her infant son, and Bothwell comes in and seduces her.